Today, victory, RBA forced to address gold scandal. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And today, I have John Adams, the economist, with me, and he's sort of celebrating. Hello, John.
Hello, sir.
So, gold has moved on a step.
Yes. Like today is a fantastic day. So thank you to you and thank you to the audience. So with the two videos that we've done on gold so far and the response of the audience, the Reserve Bank formally responded to the sort of issues and the questions we have asked. They put a new webpage up and there's five questions that they have addressed specifically related to the topics that we have discussed.
So power to the people.
Power to the right. People. People power, yes.
It seems pretty obvious to you and to me that the pressure that we've applied via the videos and by the blog and the number of people who we know have written directly to the RBA on this, yes. So they have to respond.
Yes.
Good.
And you know, credit to the RBA because that's what we want from government. If citizens are asking legitimate questions, we want government to address those and to be transparent and accountable. Unlike other agencies, so we've had a partial victory today with the RBA, and yet we, you know, on the question of bail-in, for example, or even on the stress test, we've been stonewalled with APRA. So hopefully the result today may give some impetus to us and the audience to now direct some fire on APRA in due course.
Well, I think kudos to the RBA for responding. And as you say, when people ask legitimate questions, you know, it's good to see that they actually do respond. And I know that there's been some scepticism from some of our audience as to whether it's actually worth taking the time and the trouble to actually write letters or to, you know, to send emails to the agencies. Well, I think this proves that actually it does make a difference.
What I'd like to do is to talk about what are the questions the RBA answered today, and then we won't go through the whole response, but we'll post the link in the notes. The RBA addressed five questions, and those questions are: how much gold does the Reserve Bank hold? Where is the Reserve Bank's gold stored? Does the RBA earn income from its gold? How does the RBA lend gold? Who does the RBA lend gold to? So these were the five questions. Now, what I should say is so there were certain viewers of the show who emailed the RBA and basically put a link to our previous videos and said, hey, these couple of guys are saying these things. What's your response to their comments? Now, separate from those pieces of communication, I mean, I did go to the RBA and put about 25 specific questions to them. So their responses today, within these five questions, addresses some of the things I've asked them, but there are other things, and we'll talk about that soon, like, for example, the 2013 audit, which to date, the RBA hasn't provided any answers for. So I did actually go right back to the RBA today after they notified me of this new public statement to say that for the questions that you haven't answered yet, do you intend to actually provide further information? So I sent that this afternoon, so we'll see what the RBA says on those additional questions.
And would you agree with me that the five or six points that they've actually made are probably the simpler ones to answer?
Generally, yes. The other point to make is some gold experts around the country who've been sort of following the RBA in gold for several years, they basically said that a lot of the information released today was already in one form or another on the public record. So it was, you know, there wasn't much new today, but it was good that it was consolidated in one particular point so that the whole public can now go to this one web page and figure out, well, what are the answers to these specific questions. So the RBA said in one of their answers, quote, almost the entirety of the RBA's physical gold holdings, 99.9%, is stored in the United Kingdom at the Bank of England. Nearly 100% of the gold is not here in Australia. And obviously, my view is that the gold should be here. A whole range of governments around the world are repatriating their gold back. And obviously, there's a whole bunch of people who responded to our post. Look, in terms of Australians watching this, and said, well, they think that it's worthwhile for the RBA to bring the people's gold back to Australia. So obviously there is some policy work to do, you know, via applying pressure to the RBA and to politicians to say, we as the sovereign people of this country believe that the gold should actually come back to our shores as opposed to remaining in London. In terms of the verification processes, the RBA has some interesting things to say here. So, quote, the Reserve Bank has processes in place to ensure that its specified gold bars are maintained appropriately. Inventory reconciliation, including of unique serial numbers, is undertaken periodically or after any movement on the RBA's account. Additionally, the Reserve Bank audits its gold processes, including gold holdings at the Bank of England. On this issue of the audit, now, we demolished the whole audit process from 2013. To the best of our understanding, there has not been a subsequent audit. So no one should have confidence or faith in this statement about the Reserve Bank conducting an audit, because it needs to be a proper process where they just go largely unannounced, basically can ask for whatever gold serial numbers that they want, and we expect that the English are going to produce it. Now, the interesting thing with this statement is this in terms of inventory reconciliation. From what I can tell with this sentence is, what they're basically doing is, we have some serial numbers in terms of what our gold bars are. The Bank of England has some serial numbers, and when those serial numbers change, basically the Bank of England are telling us what the new serial numbers are, and then we just sort of ensure that we have the numbers that we have are the numbers that the Bank of England says they have. Now, the important part here is that on this gold leasing question, when we lease our gold to another party, because this is one of the questions I asked, and we'll go to another statement soon on this, is that when the gold is given back after the maturity of the loan, it is not the same gold. So now there's a couple of questions there. First one is, if I gave gold to you and you're giving me different gold, well, what are you doing with the gold I've given you? So that's obviously an immediate question that we should be asking the Reserve Bank, is if you're leasing gold and you're getting new gold, you're getting different gold with a different serial number, what is the gold happening? So there's the conspiracy is the gold's being melted down. Well, if I would have thought that to disprove that theory that the gold is being melted down, you would get the original gold back with the original serial number, but that doesn't appear to be the case. So, you know, obviously the Reserve Bank with these statements are trying to imply that there is a robust process in place. I don't think there is a robust process in place, because even on reconciliation, just say you're at a retail store like a Kmart or a Big W. When you do reconciliation and inventory, you check your stock list against the actual stock. And yet what I think they're doing on reconciliation is they're checking serial numbers on an Excel spreadsheet versus the serial numbers that the Bank of England has produced, and there is actually no physical checking of the gold in this inventory reconciliation. So I'll go back to the RBA to ask, well, what do you mean by inventory reconciliation? And I would encourage viewers to actually ask this question, because if it's just checking some serial numbers on a spreadsheet, that gives no assurance that the gold is there and that it is secure. Here's an interesting sort of graph and an interesting sentence about gold leasing. So the quote is, a reduction in gold produces hedging demands combined with greater willingness of other investors to lend their gold has lowered the returns available from gold lending. So this graph that I find really interesting. So prior to the GFC, we leased nearly all of our gold. So we had 80 tons and we nearly leased the whole thing. During that period, the revenue that the Reserve Bank was getting per annum was in the vicinity of $15 to $20 million dollars a year. And then post GFC, we hardly leased anything out. And basically, it was about one ton. And then in the last 3 years, we have started to increase the amount of leasing we're doing. There are obviously some questions there. So I think, what they're trying to imply is before the GFC, they could make a decent quid out of it. Post GFC, there hasn't been much money made out of it. That's why they decided not to lease. But now they've started to ramp up the leasing again. So what has changed in the last few years that has given this new impetus to lease? And obviously, in last financial year, as of 30 June of this year, it is 11 tons that has been leased. They won't tell us who it is or the nature of the institutions that have it, but there is some criteria that they follow, and we'll talk about that in terms of the moment. So what we said previously is correct. The gold's not here. There's 80 tons, 69 tons is sitting in the Bank of England. 11 is being leased. There is a acknowledgement that they're not making as much money what they previously did compared to now. So they have leased 600 million and they've only generated about $710,000 worth of income, which is 0.12%. So for me, I guess on this point is, if you're only making such a small amount of money by leasing out this gold over there, why would you sort of keep the gold there for that small amount of money? It doesn't seem to be a commercial rate of return for the risk of something happening to the gold. In terms of this point that we made before, so here's a statement by the RBA. The RBA requires the redelivery of gold it has lent to be in the form of a physical delivery of gold to the RBA's allocated account at the Bank of England. And then it says in brackets, which may be affected by a book entry transfer of serial numbered gold bars from an allocated account held at the Bank of England to the RBA's allocated account held at the Bank of England. So basically what they're saying here is, for example, just say the Reserve Bank was to lease gold to JP Morgan. And then it was a 12-month loan. After the 12 months, JP Morgan has to give gold back to the RBA. Now, at the Bank of England, they have what they call an allocated account, which is you have a specific account, and in that account, you have gold, which is allocated to you specifically and with serial numbers dedicated to you. And they have what they call an unallocated account, which basically means that there's just a whole random number of bars. So you could say Martin North owns 50 tons of gold that's unallocated, which basically says that, you know, your gold is basically sitting in a random pile of gold that has no specific numbers. But so what they're saying here is that if after 12 months, if JP Morgan has to give back the gold, well, if JP Morgan has an allocated account, what the Bank of England will do is they will take the gold from that specific allocated account and transfer it to the Reserve Bank's allocated account, which again proves this fact that if we lease gold and then it comes back to the RBA, it's different gold with different serial numbers, which beggars the question, what has happened to our original gold? But the second question is that because we haven't been there since 2013 to physically check the gold, when they say it is allocated back to us, how do we know that the gold is actually there?
So actually there are two things going on here, right? You've got the physical pile of gold,
yes,
with the serial numbers.
Yes.
And you've got some sort of electronic record, right?
Yes.
Which effectively is a record of each serial number and presumably therefore the value of the gold, right?
Yes.
And it's that accounting process that we're just talking about here, right?
Yes.
But of course the accounting process that you just mentioned and is discrete from the pile of gold.
Exactly.
So you could have a shadow account in Sydney and you could sort of cross-check the records, which is your first point,
yeah,
but that may not necessarily be totally connected with the physical pile of gold.
Exactly.
And we don't know unless the audit's done.
Yes.
And as we said before, the point where there was that when you actually give them sufficient warning, then the audit isn't really valued anyway. So never mind what the electronic records say, it's the correlation between the electronic records and the physical gold that's the critical question.
Precisely.
Yep.
Precisely. Now, in terms of who they are leasing the gold to, so the Reserve Bank had a particular statement about this, and they say the Reserve Bank's credit risk on its gold transactions is managed by only dealing with counterparties that meet strict eligibility criteria, such as minimum credit ratings from major rating agencies. So basically they're saying that they're only going to deal with honorable counterparties and the eligibility of are these worthy people to deal with is basically Standard & Poor's, Moody's, etc. Now, the only issue I have with this is that Lehman Brothers, on the day of the collapse, was rated AAA, yes, by S&P. So we would hope that in normal economic times, if you have a AAA credit rating, you are sound. But when the crisis comes, the Reserve Bank may be dealing with counterparties that may be, you know, unsound and maybe found out to be unsound, just like in 2008. So this statement here doesn't give me, it doesn't warm my heart with a lot of confidence that whoever we have leased the gold out to, we can be 100% assured of payment. Because on the issue of collateral, now they have addressed this. They basically said that either they have some sort of financial instrument as collateral, like a bond or a cash or whatever the case may be, or it is a government guarantee. So if they've leased it to, I don't know, the U.S. Federal Reserve, well, that gold that will come back to us is guaranteed by the U.S. government. But again, there is sovereign risk, particularly when you look at some of these European countries. If the governments go broke, can they make payments? There's all sorts of risks here. So again, we have our gold over there. We're leasing 11 tons. We're making $710,000 a year. There's all these rumors circulating around. And the question is that worth the risk of something happening to the gold or not being able to get the gold back? My personal view is, I don't think we're getting sufficient return for the risk that the Reserve Bank is engaged in. But you may agree with that, or you may have a different view.
Well, it does seem a little weird because it's very little in terms of return, right, on that leasing, right? And it goes back to the fundamental question we asked the other day: is why is the gold still in the UK?
So the reason why the gold, well, they haven't said this publicly, but implicitly, the reason why the gold is still in England is because if you're going to lease gold, well, the counterparty has to receive the actual physical gold. So if you're actually going to be in the business of leasing, well, it's more efficient for the gold to be in England. But the question is, should we be in that business given that the money that we're getting is very little?
Yeah, well, that's the point. So a few years ago, when they were leasing a lot of it and making quite a good return. So you might say it was economically sustainable to do that. But now they're not leasing very much and they're not getting very much for it.
That's right.
In which case, given all of the complexity and the risks attached to it, does it make any sense anymore? Wouldn't it be better to bring it back? So you've got then some outstanding questions with the Reserve Bank, right? So they haven't answered all your questions.
No.
Right?
No.
So have you got some thoughts as to what those questions that they should be answering?
Sure. So some of the questions that I asked that are still outstanding for me. Now, the audience may have some other questions that they may wish to ask, but basically I asked, does the RBA intend to bring Australia's gold back? Now, I suspect the answer is no, because they want to continue in the business of gold leasing. I just think for a paltry $710,000, it is just not worth being involved in that business, and we should withdraw our gold, bring it back to Australia, and just provide confidence that our property is under our control. So that's obviously one question I have. In terms of the audit results for the Bank of England from what we did in 2013, I'd obviously like to know what those results are. Can they show the report? Was there any adverse findings, etc.? Now, I think I did email them and ask them about when is the next audit. So I think it has been suggested it's this financial year, but it'd be interesting to sort of have that confirmed to see, are they auditing this financial year and when? And what are the rules of the audit? Are we going to give the English 6 weeks to 8 weeks notice? Or can we just go unannounced to London and basically just give a random set of serial numbers and just say, bring these bars out and we're just going to see, what you got now, without any forewarning. So if you remember from the part one, we talked about prior to 2013, there was no formal gold custody safe gold safe custody arrangements. So these communications alluded to that there was some sort of negotiation to put those arrangements in place. So I asked some questions about that, but that we can, if there's anything public, I'd like to sort of see, well, what are those parameters between us and the Bank of England? And then, some DFA viewers, when we did the two parts, they respond to us by talking about about even if they produce the bars, how do we know that they are solid gold bars? Because there's been all these sort of rumors about tungsten being imposed on the... So tungsten has the same sort of weight. And there's been all sorts of examples of where gold bars gold bars have been drilled and been filled with tungsten to obviously reduce the gold content. And this is what they call in the industry salted bars. So obviously some people are... of the DFA viewers was suggesting, Even if we look at the gold, even if we bring it back, how do we know that they haven't been drilled, that there's tungsten in them? So I actually asked the question to the RBA, what are your processes to ensure that the bars haven't been tampered with and that they're a solid gold? So no answer on that specific question. To be honest, unless if you take a bar and then drill into it or chop it into whatever the case may be or melt it down and see what's in it, you really can't be sure. But again, there have been historical examples, whether it was gold or silver, where they tampered with the product because they were trying to preserve the product so they could sort of keep the sort of scandal about what was really happening with supply. So these are obviously some of the questions that are outstanding for me. The audience may have other questions that they think are obviously want answered, but I think given the reactions to the two parts we've already said, I think the big proposition is the gold's not here. A lot of Australians watching this believe that the gold should be here, and basically now it's a policy but political question. So for those who believe that we need a change of policy in terms of what the Reserve Bank is doing, obviously we can apply more pressure with the RBA, but ultimately it will be up to Cabinet and the Treasurer to basically change the policy. So if anyone is interested to apply pressure on Frydenberg, sign the petition that I did on change.org. You may wish to write to the Treasurer directly, to the Prime Minister or your local member, and said, the RBA today has officially declared that 99.9% of our gold is not here. We don't think this is right. We want your government to change course. And we expect you to do so. So there's a few options for the audience to pursue. Given that I've put some additional questions to the RBA, let's see where the next step in this journey is.
Thank you, John. So this will run and run, I think, but I think we can claim at least a small victory.
So we have a small victory today. Particularly on some of the other matters that we've been talking about, whether it's the stress test or bail-in, etc., hopefully we can score some new victories with the help of the audience.
Fingers and toes crossed. John, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
So there you have it. See, people power works. If you found this useful, interesting, please like the post, share it, add a comment or a question. We do read them all. And do check back next time for our next episode. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.